been teaching Bible studies in the last few weeks on what causes Christians to be perplexed, not live at peace. I don't mean now strife between people, but peace inside. What can we do to have tranquility? I think I may have told you this. I'm not sure. But the Rays over here were in another state recently, and they wrote me a note and told me they went to a certain church and said the pastor spoke of me very much in the sermon. And he said, spoke about how Brother Hiles is always on top side, always happy, always, joyous, cutting up, enjoying life, in spite of his difficulties and so forth. I'm afraid we have far too many nervous Christians. Far too many Christians that don't have joy. I heard a man on radio the other day preaching, and he said, if you want joy, let Jesus come in your heart. He'll give you joy. No, that's not true. He'll give you a home in heaven, but he won't give you joy. He'll make joy available to you, but he won't give you joy. You don't get joy because you get saved. You get joy available to you because you get saved. And I'm trying to teach you how things you can do to have this joy. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 17, and verse number 7. Luke, chapter 17. This is sort of a twin study to the one last Wednesday night. Luke 17, and verse number 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? What he's saying is, here's a fellow that hires an employee, and the employee does what he's paid to do. Then does the employer thank the fellow? No, it was a deal. The fellow was paid, and he did what he's supposed to do, and he got paid for it. And then it says, doth he thank, there's verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. That word trow simply means I suppose not, I think not. And this next sentence is a powerful sentence, a verse. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, that word unprofitable is a very, very interesting word. The word actually means we feel useless. We feel useless. If you do that which you have been commanded to do, and that is your duty to do, and that's all you do, there's no real good, warm feeling about that. If you work 8 hours a day, and at 7 hours and 59 minutes, you're looking toward the door, ready to make a fast break for the door. Okay, you've worked the 8 hours, but you got 8 hours pay, so no big deal about that. You did what you're supposed to do, but it says here you'll still feel useless. You'll say, I feel unprofitable. I don't feel like I'm really as useful as I ought to be. Father, bless our study tonight. I think I have something that the people need. I know I need it. I pray you'd help me to be what they need tonight. Bless our study, our fellowship in the book. In Jesus' name, amen. So, our Father, we come now with the Bible in our hands to look at it. We're so casual with it, about it. So many Christians tonight don't even own a Bible. And so many would love to someday have one. And not only that, back yonder in other eras, they didn't have all the Bible. Back yonder in the days of the prophets, they only had just a part. And we have it all. I pray you'd help us not to take it for granted, to take it lightly. Bless our study, please. Amen. Let me tell you why many of you are not really happy, contented. Now, I'm not talking about shouting now. I'm for that. I'm not even talking about outward expression, though I'm for that. I'm talking about a certain kind of a settled, deep peace in your heart. You'd be amazed if you knew how many people come to me to my office and they say, Brother Hiles, I'm nervous. I'm not happy. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Brother Hiles, there's something missing in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you what that something is in many cases tonight. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, would you please? Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to ask you to read, follow me as I read verse number 38 through 41. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Now, look at me. I want to talk tonight about the first mile and the second mile. If a man asks you to go a mile, and you go a mile, you have done what he asked you to do. But it says, if a man asks you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, I call the first mile the character mile. I call the second mile the happy mile. What makes you happy? And the word happy is not the word I want, but it's the word you understand. I'm calling for the study tonight. The first mile is the character mile, and the second mile is the happy mile. Now, there are those tonight who tithe. If you make $100, you give $10 to God. If you make $1,000, you give $100 to God. If you make $1,010, you give a lot to God. You give $101 to God. Now, you tithe, and that's what you're commanded to do. But you have not done anything yet for God. You have not given anything yet. It is that's the character mile. That's the rent, if you please. But that's not anything you're giving to God. That's the bill at the restaurant, but that's not including the tip. It's just what you are commanded or supposed to do. Now, that's what I call the character mile. And you're supposed to do these things that God has told you to do because God told you to do them. And it is your duty and responsibility. So, I call the first mile the character mile. I call the second mile the happy mile. Did you ever watch a track meet? Okay, here's the guy. He's running, let's say, the 400-yard dash or the 400-meter dash. And that's one time around the track. And, oh, boy, he runs and he comes from behind and crosses the finish line barely ahead of the second-place fella, and he wins. Then they have what they call so often the victory lap. He didn't have to run that lap. He already ran the lap. He won the race. But he runs the victory lap. Why? To wave at the people, thank them for cheering him, and for them to cheer him even more. The victory lap. Now, the Christian life is wrapped up in doing what you're supposed to do, but that's the character mile. Now then, beyond that is what I call the happy mile. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, and look, if you would, please, at verse number 21. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. All right? Now then, that's one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill. All right? Let's go a step further. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. All right, look at me for a minute. It says here that the commandment is thou shalt not kill. Now, that's the character mile. Now, the happy mile is if you're not angry with your brother without a cause. Now, that's very interesting. The word without a cause means in vain. You get angry in vain. Now, there are times that you're supposed to be angry, but you're supposed to decide when you get angry. That's what it means when Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye angry, that's a command, and sin not. What does it mean? Hear me carefully. It means let your anger be determined by your own premeditated plan that somebody needs your anger rather than you somebody irritating you and you get angry because of external stimulus. Now listen to me carefully. It is wrong for you to get angry without a cause. I mean, somebody does something, does wrong to you, and you get angry. No, you're supposed to get angry, but there are times, a teenager comes to my office not long ago. A teenage lad came to my office. He was a little bit belligerent. And for you fellows on platform, that means he was rude. But he a little bit belligerent in my office. And now, I wasn't mad at the boy, young man. But I said, now, son, I don't deserve respect. But my office deserves respect. I happen to be pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, and you're going to respect me while you're in the office. I respect you as a human being. You're important to me because you're human. And I also am human, and you're going to be respectful to me, or I'm going to show you the door. So he popped off at me again. For his own sake, I punched him out. For his own sake, I went to the door, and I said, son, you're going to leave right now. And when you can come back and be respectful to your elders, to your pastor, and to a fellow human being, you let me know. I'll welcome you back. I'll treat you as a gentleman ought to treat a gentleman, and I'll invite you back. But don't you come back here unless you come back to be gentlemanly to me as I plan to be to you. Now, he did not provoke me to anger. I felt somebody needed to tell that kid what I told him. Obviously, his mama never told him. Obviously, his daddy never told him. He's too busy giving him what he didn't get to have. There's nothing irritates me any more than that. For a fellow, I want my children to have what I didn't have. Yeah, and they won't turn out like you did either. I don't want my children to have to work. I want my children to have it easy. I don't want my children to have a tough time. Well, you will spoil those little brats and make them belligerent and misbehave in the pastor's office and so forth. Somebody needed to tell that boy in no uncertain terms what he ought to hear. Now, I wasn't mad at him. Nothing he did, external stimuli or stimulus, did not make me do that. I said to myself, this boy needs somebody to verbally slap him across the face and wake him up. By the way, in less than a week, that boy wrote me a note, put it in my door, and apologized, and came back to my office, and was a gentleman, and I helped him. I think he's going to be salvaged. Now, that's what the Lord said when he said, be ye angry, you see. There are times when people need a rebuke, but not because you are irritated or stimulated by their behavior, but you yourself feel that this is what they need. Now, enough for that. So, it says, The character mile is thou shalt not kill. But the happy mile is if you don't even get angry without a cause. God is simply saying, you do the commandments. There's no big deal in that. You're still an unprofitable servant. If I give you a $10 bill and you go out and invest that $10 or don't invest it and bring you back $10, I didn't get any profit. It means there's no profit from that. I got my $10 back. So when God's talking about an unprofitable servant, he's talking about somebody that doesn't do any more than he's expected to do. And that's one of your problems. You want to get by with as much as you can get by with, or you don't want to do wrong, but you want to stay just barely outside the boundary line of wrong, and you don't want to give God any bonus or any tip, if you please. Now, forgive me for saying that my wife will tell you that I am a generous tipper. My sister was eating with mother. Were you eating with mother? Where's Earlene? Where are you, Earlene? I don't know where you are. I think this story is true. If it's not, don't tell me. I know that my mother was eating out with somebody, and my mother didn't know anything about it. We were poor. We never went to restaurants. Good night. Mother said, I'll get the tip. And she put a quarter there on the table. Some of you are not laughing because you're as big a tightwad as my mother was. But to you, that sounds like a pretty good deal. But Ms. Hiles will tell you that If you're supposed to tip 15%, I never tip just 15%. Never do. I give a good deal more than 15%, but I am not going to get by with just what I'm supposed to do. Now, what God is saying, a lot of Christians in this world are just, they don't want to get spanked. They don't want God to punish them. And they want to have a good clear conscience, but there's no joy, there's no lilt, there's no peace, there's no contentment. Why? Because you're just getting by with what you're supposed to do. And God said there's no profit in that, there's no merit in that, and in fact, He said a lot of Christians feel useless because that's all they do. So, thou shalt not kill, that's the character mile. Thou shalt not be angry without a cause, that's the happy mile. All right, take your Bibles and turn, please, to Matthew chapter 5 once again. And look at verse number 27. 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that's the character mile. You're not supposed to commit adultery. Now, that's the commandment of God. That's another one of the Ten Commandments. But he said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his own heart. Now, I want you to notice something about that verse. Look at me. It says, to look on a woman to lust after her. What does it mean? It means if you look on a woman in order to lust after her. In other words, that's the happy mile if you don't do that. Now, refraining from adultery is the character mile. Refraining from purposely looking at a woman to lust after her, or a man either, that is the happy mile. If you don't even plan to look at a woman to lust after, that's more than God commanded. God commanded, thou shalt not commit adultery. And some of you folks, just right on the line there, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm clean as a hound's tooth, I've never committed adultery, but there is a happy mile. Now, if you look at a woman for the purpose of lusting, now, what does that mean? Well, I guess if a fellow buys a magazine, it's got some naked women in it, a picture, I guess he buys it for the purpose. You did sure didn't get it for the classified section in the back where it says job on it. No. If you get a Playboy magazine, listen to me now. You're purposely going to lust after women. You go to the beach, and you're purposely going to lust after women. You know how they dress at the beach. And you're purposely going to lust. You go to the gentleman's club. You know why you go to the gentleman's club. You don't go there to learn how to tip your hat and say thank you like a gentleman would. In the first place, one of the biggest misnomers in the world. Not a gentleman in that stinking place. Not a one. But the truth is, if you go to a movie or bring a movie to your house, or go to Blockbusters and get a movie and bring it and play it on your video, a playing machine, then you are purposely lusting after a woman. By the way, let me stop and say this too. If you go to the beach, hear me carefully now. If you go to the beach and you look at these women in their bikinis, and no man that has red blood in his veins is going to look at women like that and think about John 3:16. You're not going to do it. You're not. Well, you say, well, how does it bother me? I'd suggest you move to San Francisco and run for mayor. But you're not normal. But I want to say this too. It takes two to commit adultery. And if that man that looks on that woman who's ill clad, if that man looks on her, if he's guilty of committing adultery, then the woman that's out there 9/10 naked is also guilty of adultery. Now, but for the house, I tell you, I don't commit adultery. Okay, that's the commandment. That's the character. You live right, you're clean, you're pure. That's the character. But in case you'd like to be happy, there's a happy mile. And the happy mile is to keep your mind clean. And the happy mile is to be the kind of person that doesn't look for women like that to lust after them. All right? So, you have the character mile. Thou shalt not kill. The happy mile. Thou shalt not be angry without a cause. The character mile. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the happy mile. You don't look at women or men of the opposite sex with evil thoughts or to lust after them. Now you listen carefully to me. I don't care what you say. it is still possible for a young man, 18, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, it is still possible for a young man to live in this life and not have to look at women that have evil thoughts. Now, by the way, that word looketh is in the linear. A man looketh on a woman. It doesn't mean one look. I love what Billy Sunday used to say. You can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep him from building a nest up there. And sure, you're going to look at they're beautiful women, and they're thrown before us stripped, almost stripped naked all the time, and you're going to look at one. But there still is the Holy Spirit can give you the victory over that, and you won't have to have an evil thought. By the way, it wouldn't hurt you women to be pretty for your husbands. You married ladies are pretty for your husbands and attractive for your husbands, and so he won't have to go shopping somewhere. He has a wife that's loving and affectionate. You say, well, I'm just not the affectionate type. Then get right with God. The altar's right here. Get down here and use the altar. Did you know, for example, there's not one place in the Bible where God tells a woman to love her husband? Wait a minute. The word love, agape, when God says, husbands, love your wives, that's the word agape. That's the deep, abiding, heartfelt, godly love. But to the woman, he never says, agape your husband. He says, phileo your husband. What does that mean? That means be affectionate to your husband. Why? Because God knew that a man would be a little more interested in the opposite gender, usually, than a woman would. And so it's going to be harder for a man to deeply love. God says, this is going to be your weakness. I want you deeply love. But he says to the woman, maybe deep love comes more natural for you. So I want you to be sure that you're affectionate towards your husband. So I'm talking about Christians that are happy. The happy mile. Folks that go the second mile. Folks that don't just say, this is what I'm supposed to do. I've done what I'm supposed to do. You Howells Anderson College, you 1 hour a week soul winners. You the ones I'm after tonight. You 1 hour a week soul winners. Isn't it true at Howells Anderson College at 1 hour a week? Somebody help me. Is that right? You have to go soul winning 1 hour a week to stay in Howells Anderson College. Now, I'm talking about you soul winners that go soul winning for 59 minutes and 60 seconds. I'm talking about you get your hour over and take off for the gym and start shooting baskets or go back to the dining or the snack shop and get your hamburger. Okay, you're not going to get expelled. You've done what you're commanded. You've done what you're supposed to. But tell you what, you go to Chapel House, Anderson College, that's not the folks that are shouting amen. That's not the happy crowd. That's the crowd criticizing the happy crowd. Why? Because they've gone the character mile, but they've not gone the happy mile. And because they've gone the character mile and not the happy mile, they're upset with people that go the happy mile. And that's what's wrong with. And that's why churches are dead. And that's why Christians aren't happy. And that's why Christian people don't have the victory. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about church attending people. I'm talking about tithing people. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about folks that do what they're supposed to do, and that's all. But bless God, supposed to do is your obligation. But how about the tip? How about the second mile? And that's one reason why you're not contented, and that's why some of you are upset right now, and that's why some of you are not listening right now, because you're supposed to come to church. So here I am. I came. You say, be here in church. I came. Okay. Why don't you just go ahead and go the happy mile and listen? And pay attention. Now turn, please, to Matthew chapter 5 once again. Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse number 43. Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Let me stop right there. Remember, they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, body, and soul. Remember that? And they said, what is the second commandment? And Jesus said, the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's a commandment. So when somebody loves his neighbor as himself, he is obeying the commandment. That's the character mile. But look at the next verse. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the happy mile. You know one reason I'm happy? Because I don't hate my enemies.
He said, "Boy, I'll get back you."
Look how you look. Look how you look.
It's the last thing I'll do.
Look how you look.
Yeah. You better freeze that way. You'll be an ugly statue, I'll tell you for sure. Now listen carefully to me. The character mile is to love your neighbor. Now, you don't know your neighbor. Who is the neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan shows that. This Good Samaritan didn't know this guy. But this guy was... He went down the road. He saw this fellow that had been beaten, fallen among thieves, and left for half dead. He goes to him, binds up his wounds, puts him on his horse or on his beast, takes him to an inn, and says, "Take care of him. I'll come back and see you, and I'll pay you later. If there's anything else, I'll pay you later." He didn't know the fellow. Now, that's the character mile. What's the happy mile? Fellow gets off his horse, goes over there, sees the fellow beaten half to death. He says, "Good night, I know that rascal. That's the guy that's been spreading a bunch of rumors about me. That guy's been scandalizing me. Drop dead there, fella. You think I'm going to help you?" Now, the truth is, the commandment said love your neighbor. That's the character mile. The happy mile is love your enemy. And by the way, that word love there is the word agape, which is a deep, abiding love. And that's why, there are three reasons why some of you folks are look like you look tonight. And I wish if you're happy, you'd have your heart tell your face about it. But you're not happy. Why? Because commandment says thou shalt not kill. But you can blow your stack. And you haven't broken the commandment when you blow your stack. Because the commandment says thou shalt not kill. That's a character mile. But if you want to be happy, go the happy mile. And don't be angry because somebody has upset you or external stimulus. You know why you're not happy tonight, contented, and the world is full of a bunch of Christians that don't enjoy Christianity? I'll tell you why. They don't commit adultery. Let me be a little frank tonight. They look for the lingerie ads in the local newspaper. Is it true at Hobbs Anderson College that when they take a... I know Brother Young does this. I know he does this. Brother Young goes through the newspaper in his house. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right? He goes to the newspaper. And all of these things he doesn't want his daughters to read. He doesn't have any boys. All he doesn't want his daughters to read. He cuts them out. I know that. They're on the wall of his office right now. But he does. Now, the honest simple truth is, you got to watch it when you read the newspapers these days. You got lingerie ads that look worse than burlesque shows used to 50 years ago, I think. So if you want to be contented, have peace and joy, then go the character mile, don't kill. Go the happy mile, and don't be angry without a cause. Go the character mile, and don't commit adultery. Then go the happy mile, and look at women. If you're a man, look at women like you'd want everybody to look at your sister. And women, likewise. If you want to obey the commandment, love your neighbor. That's what it says. The second commandment, love your neighbor. But there's a happy mile, too. That's a character mile. There's a happy mile. Happy mile is love your enemy. You know, I never go to sleep with anything in my heart against anybody. Never do. Never do. I can look at anybody in this whole world. I don't care if I see my bitterest enemy on the road. I promise you, I'll be friendly to him. I'm not mad at him. I love him. I'd help him if he were in trouble. I mean that. I mean, if you don't believe it, try me out. I'm telling you that I heard a preacher said one time to his people, when some of our folks were there, I heard him say it. He said, "You know, if you ever want a new Bible, criticize Dr. Hiles. If he hears that you're his enemy, he'll send you a Bible." You know why? I want them to read this thing so they'll live better. But I'm simply saying, that's the happy mile. And that's one reason why I enjoy life. See, enemies don't make you unhappy. Being an enemy makes you unhappy. It's not somebody else's unrest that causes you to lose your peace and joy. It's your unrest and your bitterness and your revenge. Let me give you an example. When I was 10 years old, I got a paper route. Dallas Morning News paper route. In those days, the paper cost 15 cents a week. A week, 15 cents. Of course, your salary was $10 a week for working five and a half days, Monday to Friday, half day on Sunday, Saturday. Everybody did that in those days. And you got paid about $10 a week. But I threw a paper out. The first week, my profit was $3. I went home and 10-year-old boy, hey, mom, boy, oh boy, looky here. I made $3. Now, that'd be equivalent probably to about, $25, $30 today. And maybe more. And mother said, now, son, I want to show you something. She said, give me one of those dollars. I gave her one of the $3 bills. She gave me 10 dimes back. Then she took 3 of those dimes out and says, these don't belong to you. Well, I didn't understand that. I said, well, mama, they do too. She said, they belong to God. I said, he didn't throw those papers. I did. I got up at 3:30 in the morning. Back in those days, the morning paper was not the noon paper. If I didn't have the paper on their porch by 5 o'clock, I lost my paper route. I got up at 3:30 in the morning, went up and folded my papers, threw my route, went back home, got to bed by 5:30, and slept a little while longer. But Mama said, son, 1/10 of all the money you make belongs to God. Now, she said, 30 cents is God's. Now, that was not me giving God anything. When God said he loves a cheerful giver, he wasn't talking about a tither. He's talking about a giver. If you pay your bill, you're not giving anybody anything. You leave a tip, that's giving. And so God's not saying he loves it. You put your tithe envelope in the offering plate and say, glory to God. No, you put a lot more than that. And that which is over your tithe, you're giving, and you're cheerful about that. So God's talking about that. So the 10% is the character mile. And the extra is the happy mile. Malachi chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10 and so forth. It says, ye have robbed God. But where have we robbed you, they ask. He said, in tithes and offerings. You've robbed me in the character mile, and you've robbed me in the cheerful mile, but you mark it down, brother. If you don't give God more than the tithe, then you're not robbing God. You're robbing God if you don't give the tithe. If you don't give a gift, you're robbing yourself of peace and joy and contentment. That mechanical, legalistic, this is a commandment of God. I'm going to do what God said. God wants you to do more than what he said. Not for his sake, but for your sake. Because that's the happy mile. My mother, when I was a boy, made me read the Bible and pray 15 minutes every day. I had to. She had to schedule time. I had to sit down. I'm talking about as a boy now, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I had to sit down and read that Bible and pray 15 minutes a day. Most of the time I prayed that I wouldn't have to do it the next day. But I read the Bible and prayed 15 minutes every day. When I got out of the paratroopers in World War II, I went to Texas University in Arlington, Texas. And they shook my faith in this book right here, and you've heard the story. I decided to find out who was right. The professor said the Bible's just another book. Mama said the Bible's God's book. I went to the Baptist Student Union building across the street from Texas University in Arlington. I got on my knees, and during a whole semester, I read every word in that Bible on my knees. That's the happy mile. 15 minutes because I had to. God said, read your Bible and pray. So what do you do before you go to bed at night? Let's see. I'll put my finger down and see what it says. It says, thou markest me and will not acquit me for my iniquity. I never could understand the Bible. Try the newspaper that way. Say, I'm going to read the paper today. Supposed to. So I put my finger on it, and it says Cocker Spaniel Dog Missing, $5 reward. Oh, the paper's so dull. Yeah, paper's dull because you don't get the paper any time. You got a legalistic kind of a character, Mal. You're supposed to read the Bible. Okay, that's your commandment. The Bible said, in case you'd like to have fulfillment and peace and tranquility and joy, then you go the happy mile and do more than what is commanded. Now go back to Luke 17. We're closed. Luke 17 again, please. Verse 10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, in other words, everything that was commanded you did. That's good. And say, we're unprofitable servants. Now notice, they're servants. Servants. But the word unprofitable, as I said a while ago, means not fulfilled, if you please. I've written down here, feeling useless. I feel useless. I've done all the commandments. Now look at it now. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we're useless servants. Servants, yeah, they served him. Yeah, just like the guy that works 8 hours, but not 8 hours in 1 minute. If there's something to do at 4:30 in the afternoon on the staff, for example, I said one time to the staff, be careful leaving here. You might get trampled in a rush toward the door at 4:30. And by the way, in the parking lot, be careful. All those cars leaving at 4:31. But you asked my secretary if I have to have something done. And I say, Irma, I don't want you to stay after 4:30. She said, well, all over the house, I don't mind at all. I don't mind at all. That's why she's a happy camper. See? You know why? Because she's not just working till 4:30. She not only is doing what's commanded her, but she's going the happy mile also. And that's why Jesus said, you keep the commandments, that's okay. But he said, now look at verse 10 again. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, and say we are unprofitable servants, or we feel useless, we have done that which was our duty. That word duty is interesting. Look at me. That word duty is the word debt. We have paid our debt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's no big deal about paying your debts, and nobody will brag on you because you pay your debts. Some of you folks will make your payment on time. You'd want the United States Navy Band to come out and play for you. Let me say it again. It is no merit to you because you pay your debt. You got your merchandise, and for you to pay your debt and pay it on time is not anything for which you ought to be congratulated. The fellow said, I feel useless. You know why? Because I have paid my debts. I have paid my debts. But Jesus said, there's a second mile to go. And that second mile... I made mention last week that we hired a little lady. She happened to be black. We didn't know she was. We hired her to come and help us do some unpacking at our condominium where we just moved. And we had a few things that we unpacked that we didn't have room for because we moved. My house had 10 rooms. The house had 4 rooms. My condo has 4 rooms. And we had a bunch of stuff left over. And Miss Howell said to her, what was her name? Yolanda? Yolanda, would you like to have this? Oh, she said, yes. Yes, I'd love to have that. Man, we got a nice little sack of things to give her. I think some beer cans and so we got a nice little sack of things, and she was so happy. Now, she got paid a salary. But she started to leave, and she had worked hard, and she'd been nice and gracious. And so I took a $50 bill. I said, I want you to have this. And she said, oh, no. Oh, no. You don't have to do that. Anybody said to you, you don't have to do that. If you have to, there's no merit. She said, I didn't expect that. I said, no. If you'd expected it, I wouldn't have given it to you. And she was pleased. And that's the happy mile. She was happy. I was miserable. But now, there's a certain sense about that kind of living. My father-in-law was that way. My father-in-law, you couldn't pay. He wouldn't eat with you if you paid the bill. That's why I love to eat with him. But he wouldn't go in a restaurant. It was all settled. I'll pay the bill. I'm the same way. Find any man on this platform that's ever eaten a meal that's paid. I've eaten with Dr. Evans dozens of times. He's never paid one time. Come to think of it, he never offered to pay one time. I said, Doc, Dr. Evans came to town 27 years ago. He had the Ten Commandments in one hand, a $10 bill in the other. He hasn't broken either one since he's been here. And but you know, I've got to do it. I do not want to go through life doing my duty. I don't want to be the kind of Christian obeying the commandments of God. I want to go that first mile. That's obeying the commandments. That's the character mile. I want to go the happy mile. And that's the mile I'm not commanded to go. Character mile, don't kill. Happy mile, don't get mad unduly. Character mile, don't commit adultery. Happy mile, keep a clean mind. Character mile, love your neighbor. Happy mile, love your enemy also. Character mile, 10% of your income. Happy mile, gifts beyond 10% of your income. And that's the happy, vibrant, rejoicing people. That's what you do. I say it again, I'll close. Go out to Chapel House Nursing College. Now, I understand everybody can't sit on the front. I understand that. I understand that some of you folks sitting way up in the back are as good a Christians as those sitting on the front. I hope so. I know some of these on the front. But I understand that. And I'm not saying that you can judge a person's spirituality where he sits in church. But you listen carefully to me. You show me that guy who gets there early so he can sit on the back row. I'm talking about college now. Or teenagers in church. They have got to sit on the back because they don't want to listen. They're going to misbehave. Now, you check and see. Those Howells Anderson College. Check the Howells Anderson College people that barely live in the rules. I mean, if the skirt is supposed to be a certain length, you measure it, you wouldn't make it an eighth of an inch too long. Now, you check that crowd. They're the gripers. The critics. You know why? And some of you are here right now. Some of you high school kids are here right now. Okay, if I got to do it, I got to do it. Well, there's something bigger than that, Busty. Something bigger than that. And that something bigger is everybody in the world who's happy is the one that goes the character mile and then the happy mile. If a man asks you to go a mile, go with him too. For example, if a man asks you to go to church on Wednesday night for Bible study, stay for business.